The U.S. Supreme Court today hears the first direct challenge to Congress's power to enact copyright laws. The Constitution specifically provides that Congress give creators exclusive rights over their work for limited times. The question is whether Congress, in extending existing copyright law for an additional 20 years, went too far and created a virtually unlimited copyright. NPR Legal Affairs correspondent Nina Totenberg reports.
So you think copyright, yeah, boring. Uh-uh. Almost everything that entertains you is governed by the nation's copyright laws. Everything from the Great Gatsby to Stuart Little. Everything from Louis Armstrong to Silence of the Lambs.
I ate his liver with some fava beans and a nice Chianti.
To Mickey Mouse.
Yes, ma'am. Yes, sir. I'll say we do.
In fact, it was Mickey, or more precisely Mickey's creators and owners at Disney, who were a moving force for the most recent revision of the copyright law, a law that came to be known as the Sonny Bono Copyright Extension in honor of the late congressman who sponsored it. The problem for copyright owners in 1998 was that they were about to lose both control of and profit from many of their works. The law, as then written, provided copyright to authors for their lifetime plus 50 years. That meant that early versions of Mickey Mouse, as well as tens of thousands of movies, books, stories, and songs, were about to fall into the public domain, meaning that anyone could use them, reproduce them, put them on the internet without paying a dime to the original creator or his heirs, and in any form, even pornographic. So Congress stepped in to extend the copyright law an additional 20 years for both new and existing works. The legislation was the product of extensive hearings, tons of lobbying from competing factions, and in the end, an overwhelming bipartisan vote. The losers, internet purveyors, small publishers of old works, and even some authors, didn't give up, though. They went to court, claiming that the new law, in essence, locks up what could be a global library on the internet and seeks to meter it out as pay-per-view events. Make no mistake about it, this case may be about creativity and about the constitutional separation of powers, but it is also about money, billions and billions of dollars.
Bond. James Bond.
The James Bond copyright alone, including licensing and branding, is said to be worth $3 to $5 billion to MGM. Or as Jack Valenti, president of the Motion Picture Association of America, puts it,
the copyright industries represent America's greatest trade export prize. The copyright industries in this country bring in more revenues than agriculture, than aircraft. It's an awesome engine of economic growth, and it's all due to the copyright law.
Indeed, Congress asserts that one of the major reasons it extended the copyright law was that the European Union had increased its term of copyright. James Sensenbrenner is chairman of the House Judiciary Committee, which, along with the Senate Committee, wrote the law.
If we kept U.S. copyright at life of the author plus 50 years, American authors would be at a significant disadvantage to those in Europe and Japan and elsewhere.
But critics charge that the U.S. Constitution has nothing to do with other countries' laws, and that, more importantly, the purpose of the copyright clause was, in the words of that clause, to promote the progress of science and the useful arts. They say that the framers meant by those words to provide works for the public domain once copyright has expired, works upon which other creators can build, just as Walt Disney built upon the Brothers Grimm with his portrayal of Snow White. They concede that the idea of public domain is not explicit, but implied. Still, as Stanford Law Professor Lawrence Lessig will tell the Supreme Court today,
our view is the framers of the Constitution just didn't doodle in the Constitution when they wrote that.
For example, some broadcasters and those who want to put movies on the internet argue that thousands of movies are moldering away in the libraries of the major studios, unviewed by the public and often unviewable because they have not been restored. But the Motion Picture Association says that the major studios have spent millions to preserve and restore old movies. To cite just a few examples, $500,000 for Alfred Hitchcock's Rear Window, $350,000 for Casablanca, and for Gone with the Wind, a cool $1 million.
As God is my witness, I'll never be hungry again.
The Motion Picture Association's Jack Valenti says the studios spend these megabucks because the most valuable asset they have is in their film libraries.
Now, if no one owns anything, who will restore it?
Of course, the Founding Fathers could never have imagined any of this, but they did have a clear idea of copyright. Indeed, the first Congress provided a copyright term totaling 28 years. Since then, Congress has extended the term of copyright repeatedly. Never before, though, has anyone suggested such extensions were unconstitutional. This time, however, the extension was unique, according to American University law professor Peter Yazzie, who represents the National Library Association and others in this case.
All that happened in 1998 was a giveaway in terms of additional protection without any compensating provisions designed to benefit public users.
Countering that assertion, the U.S. government points to a number of provisions allowing libraries and other institutions to reproduce material in the last 20 years of copyright. Copyright critics contend that regardless, no public purpose is served, no incentive to creativity provided in extending existing copyrights, since the work has already been created. The critics see copyright as a one-time bargain, not subject to extension. Eric Eldred, a small internet publisher who's leading the legal challenge, points, for example, to poet Robert Frost, whose work Eldred had hoped to publish on the internet for free.
Promises to keep, Robert Frost, when he wrote that poem, the copyright term was 56 years. So that was a promise he made that at the end of that time, it would revert to the public domain. And that promise hasn't been kept.
At rock bottom, though, this case is also about congressional power, at a time that the Supreme Court is aggressively challenging that power. It is up to the courts, say the law's critics, to determine how long a limited term of copyright is. But Congress maintains that the Constitution clearly gives it, not the courts, the power to balance the interests at stake. Judiciary Committee Chairman James Sensenbrenner.
The courts cannot substitute their arbitrary view for those that were charged with making that responsibility.
A decision in the case is expected by summer.
'Cause everything old is new again.
I said everything old is new again.
Nina Totenberg, NPR News, Washington.